Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Hey, I love taking communion. You know, and today was one of the... It was different because it was gluten-free crackers, and that was different. It felt more holy, you know, if I'm honest. How many of you are thankful for the gluten-free crackers at the Well Church for communion? I mean, excellence does not get any higher than that right there. It's good to be here, and as Pastor Spencer mentioned, I've been getting to know him on our weekly calls that we do, and it's just tremendous to be here and to see what God is doing here. I love to go and be with the guys who are on that call at least once so I know what's happening, get to see the people that they're ministering to and pastoring, and so it's good to see all of you, and you guys have a wonderful pastor, and he and his wife are wonderful people. I hope you know that. And you have been blessed by God. I'm actually coming twice in 1 month to Alabama because I'm here today, and in a few weeks I'm going to be at the Well Scottsboro for the youth conference and preaching the weekend there. So I'm double dipping in the well, and I'm happy about it. Amen. I want you to look with me, if you will, in your Bibles at Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. And while you're getting over there, I want to say a few things. Like one preacher said, before I preach, I want to say something. You know, healing, divine healing, is one of those things that I have been studying, believing God for, received from, my entire life. And I am convinced that the body of Christ, specifically right now, is getting very much cheated by the fact that we are no longer are believing or seeing divine healing. And I feel something in my spirit that says, you know what? I'm not giving up divine healing. Healing was the calling card of Jesus. If Jesus hadn't healed folks, not many people would have come to hear what he had to say. But it was divine healing as he healed those all around him, every person that came to him, that drew the crowds to him to receive the word of God. And I just believe that healing is who God is. You know, Jesus is the perfect manifestation of the Father. And all he did was ever heal people. And, you know, if you think about it, there was never one time when someone came to Jesus and said, Lord, I need to be healed. And Jesus said, now, son or daughter, God is working something in your life through this sickness. And if you'll come back in a year, God will have finished that work in you that sickness is accomplishing. And then I'll heal you. Do you ever remember reading anything about that in the Gospels? No, because it ain't there. And if that was really who God is and that was really part of who he was, I think that would have happened at least once in the Gospel. But it never happened once. And, you know, because of our experience, you say, well, you know, we prayed and then again, and we take our experience and we start forming doctrine and theology about God based on our experience instead of strictly from the Word of God. So I want to teach and maybe preach a little bit on divine healing this morning, a word that I'm calling the stripes are greater. The stripes are greater. And, you know, let me just give you a little background here. I have seen some incredible miracles over the last 2 years. I mean, incredible. The first miracle that I saw, my father, Pastor Larry Stockstill, was diagnosed with an incurable blood disorder about 10 years ago. and it was very, very, very deadly, and it shuts down the bone marrow, and it turned into leukemia, and it actually became stage 4 leukemia, and he was seeing the specialist and all that, and when you have stage 4 leukemia, it's like, hey, get your will in order, get the funeral planned out, and get hospice lined up. That's what the doctors say. And he was too old to have a blood marrow transplant, which is the only thing they could even try. So they just told him, you know, spend as much time with family as you can. You're a goner. Isn't that encouraging? And that's why we don't believe the report of the doctors. We believe the report of the Lord. That's not that we deny. We didn't deny that he was facing that. We just know that God says over him, you're healed. And so Dad began this battle, and things continued to get worse and worse and worse. And then finally, in September of 2023, they said, you need to call in hospice. We're here. He weighed about 130 pounds. It was over. And at the time, I was living in Dallas, Texas, and I was flying every weekend to be with Dad, because every weekend when I left, I didn't know if I was ever going to see him again. But Dad continued to believe in faith for his healing and contend. And you know what? I wish I could tell you that the Lord showed up one day and touched him and he was totally healed, but that's not how it happened. He just continued to believe, and God began to turn that battle very slowly. And he had been getting blood transfusions every 3 days for 9 months. And I remember one morning I was in prayer, and I had moved to Baton Rouge, back home by then, by this time. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go up to the blood bank today with your dad, because today's the last day he's going to be there. And so I got up and I called him and said, hey, where are you today? He said, I'm up at the blood bank getting blood. And so I said, I'm coming up there. So I came up there and went and saw him. And when I came up there, I told him, I said, I believe today is the last day you're going to get blood here. And he said, amen, hallelujah. He was happy about that. And you know what? That was the last day he ever received a blood transfusion. And that was almost 2 years ago now. And he began to get stronger and stronger. And the specialist that he was seeing there in New Orleans at Tulane began to say, we've never seen anything like this. No one has ever survived stage 4 leukemia. And this last week, just this last week, Spencer, he went to the doctor and his blood levels were completely normal. He has been completely healed. And the doctors, I'm telling you, come on, give the Lord a hand clap. So I have had a front row seat at watching Jesus heal my dad. He's 73 years old and he should be gone. But he is alive and well. In fact, he is in Peru this morning preaching. One of the largest churches in Peru, launching Pastor University in Peru. So not only is he alive, he's thriving. He's not just surviving, he's thriving. And he walks a mile and a half every day. And he is just full of life and so thankful to the Lord. God spared his life. And I believe he's going to live another 20 years. So I saw that. Another thing I saw, I'm 46 years old, and my wife and I have been unable to have children. And we've been married 15 years. And this last, it was actually November of 24, we found out that she was pregnant. And in July 25th of this 2025, we had a baby boy named Winston Leonidas Stockstill. And I brought some pictures. Look at my little man. He's got his daddy's ears, doesn't he? See how them ears stick out? And then I got one more picture. Yeah, there's my wife and I with our little mirror. And he is the happiest, sweetest little baby boy ever. I saw him this morning on the way to church. My wife FaceTimed me. And he was just a smiling when he heard my wife. He loves his daddy now. I'm his favorite. He loves mama, but I'm his favorite. And so I'm telling you, just a miracle. And everywhere I go, people say, oh, your little grandson is so cute. And I say, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's not really a compliment, but I'll take it. So I have seen over and over again the miracle working power of God. But in my own body, I'm still believing God for a healing. I've been battling with kidney problems for 30 years. And so, you know, I wish I could tell you that every problem that I had ever seen was all healed and it was all gone and there was nothing to believe. I'm still believing God for healing. How many of you in here in your own body or with someone close to you could use a healing from the Lord? Let's see. Come on, just lift your hands and wave at me. Let's see. Pretty much everybody in here either's got something that they need the Lord to touch their body or someone close to them. We need to see a fresh wave of divine healing in the body of Christ. It's part of what we were given at Calvary by the stripes of Jesus. We were healed. Now, this last year, I began to get a new revelation on the stripes of Jesus. And the Lord gave me three statements, confessions that I began to make every day. And I want to give you those confessions today because let me just tell you, the devil wants the body of Christ broke. I know y'all been learning about coming out of lack. He wants us broke. He wants us sick. He wants our marriages to be terrible. He wants us because he doesn't want us to be a shining light on a hill that people can look at and say, something is going on with them that I need to get in my life. And, you know, my wife's family, some of them are not saved. And my wife and I have walked through a lot of battles, like with infertility. And, you know, we are always wanting to be a witness to them. And, you know, for a while, some of her family were like, man, we just feel sorry for Joel and Amy. And I kept telling Amy, I said, God doesn't want unsaved people to feel sorry for his people. I'm not going to accept that. I'm believing God's going to do something that's just going to blow their mind. And so, you know, over the last couple of years, things have shifted because now we done had a baby and, you know, a lot of their marriages and relationships have fallen apart or they're struggling. And they look at my wife and I, and we're very much in love. We're more in love than we've ever been. Amen. Hallelujah. That's part of following Jesus. Did you know that? Men, being a good husband is a sign that you're a follower of Christ because Jesus was willing to lay down his life for the church. So we're willing to lay down our life for our wife. And that brings an atmosphere of flourishing into marriage. Now that was free. I didn't even plan on saying that today. But we have seen over and over again the example of the goodness of God in our life as a witness to unsaved family members. So today, I'm wanting to key in. I know you guys have been in a series on lack. I'm wanting to key in on sickness and disease and how Christ has set us free from the curse of the law and from sickness and disease, just like he set us free from poverty. We're set free, and we have to receive that divine health, that divine life, by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I give you these three confessions, I want to give you three things that are enemies of divine healing. Yesterday, I was sitting on the plane just praying, and I had Jonathan was worshiping in my ears. I was just worshiping, and this kind of dropped in my spirit, and I wanted to give you these three. The number one enemy of divine healing is religion. It's religion. What do you mean religion? Some people, you know, interchange faith and religion. It's like, well, Christianity is my religion. No, when I talk about religion, I'm talking about everything that's outside of relationship with Christ. Jesus said, you've substituted my word with the traditions of men. And you know what? We got all these things in the church now. Religion says, you know, when somebody, if a little child dies, the pastor gets up at the funeral and says, you know, God needed another flower in his garden in heaven. No, he didn't. God didn't need another flower in his garden in heaven. It was his will, and it is his will, that we be healed and be whole in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I know people that they've been prayed for and they get healed. Well, we don't look at that as that being God's will or that's how it's going to happen every time or all this. And that. We say, we know what his will is. His will is divine healing. Now, we don't walk in judgment against anybody. And we don't also don't get religious and say, well, they just didn't have enough faith to be healed. Now, I'm dead against that. Because I've had people judge me for years because of my battle. Okay, say, well, you know, if you really had faith, you wouldn't be battling with that anymore. So we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is substituting the traditions of men for the word of God. So religion is the number one enemy. Now, I could preach our whole message today on that, but I'm going to keep moving. All right, number two is enlightenment. And this is the pride of intellect. You know, ever since the Enlightenment 300 years ago, man has just gotten more and more prideful in what we can do with the power of the mind. We're enlightened. You know, we got electricity. We got automobiles. I flew over here in an airplane yesterday, a jet airplane. And I'm telling you, it's hardly any time I get on a jet airplane that I don't marvel that man can go up 30,000 feet in the air in a heavy, heavy metal object. That still does not make any sense to my mind. Now, I know if you're an engineer and you understand the power of thrust and all that, you probably get it. I don't. I'm a minister. I know the word of God. I don't understand anything about thrust and never probably will because I don't really care to learn about it. Physics is not my thing, but I marvel. I was like, here I am sitting. And then, you know, you look out the window and you see them loading all these heavy suitcases in there. It's like, not only is it carrying us, it's carrying all our junk. We become enlightened though. Say, you know, it's all about the power of the mind. And we begin to get skeptical about the power of healing that was paid for at Calvary. Our enlightened minds don't know how to take that in. And that brings us to the third enemy of divine healing, and that is pseudoscience. Not science. I'm all about science. I thank God for science. But see, science can only happen when something can be observed and repeated. Isn't that right? Observed and repeated. But we got people telling us that we evolved over 12 billion years from monkeys. Now, I got two questions for you. Did you observe that? No. Number two, can it be repeated? You know, last time I checked, they've never gone out there into the jungle and found a monkey that had just taken one closer step to being human. And now he was talking, even though he was still living in trees. Repeatable. So, but we accept these things as science. They're not science. They're pseudoscience. And the world would have us to believe that healing is not real, that it goes against science. It doesn't go against science. Healing is just simply when God accelerates the natural processes of life. It's an acceleration. When life comes forth, in my dad's case, his bone marrow had completely died and completely stopped making red blood cells, like zero. For 9 months, it never made a single red blood cell. And then all of a sudden, it started making red blood cells again. And now it's making red blood cells just like every other normal human being. And, you know, I have a good doctor friend that's spirit-filled, and he was advising us through this. And he said to my dad the other day, he said, Larry, you got to understand something. When your bone marrow dies from this condition that you have, it doesn't come back. It's not like, well, sometimes it comes back and sometimes it doesn't. No, when it dies, it's like when somebody dies, they're dead. And unless they're resurrected from the dead, they're dead. He said, your bone marrow was resurrected. Resurrection power went into that bone marrow and healed it. And now it's producing at normal levels for a human being. That reminds me of that verse, Romans 8. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and it will quicken your mortal body. Will it quicken his bone marrow? And I'm believing that it's quickening my kidneys. Maybe you need it to quicken your headaches or quicken you, whatever it is. The doctor said arthritis in your joints or quicken you from food allergies. You know, a few years ago, I began to develop a food allergy to shellfish. Now, when you are from Louisiana and you can't eat shellfish, you basically going to starve to death. Every meal's got some kind of crawfish or shrimp in it. I mean, we do whole crawfish boils. I mean, what are you going to do if you live in Louisiana, you're from Louisiana, and you can't eat shellfish? I began to get allergic to shellfish, and it was getting more and more intense, Madison. I mean, I would eat it, and my hands would get on fire. I would start having an allergic reaction. And I just decided, I said, you know what, devil? You're not taking shrimp from me. I would give you crawfish because I'm not a huge crawfish fan, but I ain't giving you shrimp. And I just began to rebuke the devil and say, oh, no, devil, I will not accept this allergy you're trying to put on me to shellfish. And I began to claim that I was healed from every allergy to shellfish. And you know what? A couple of weeks ago, I ate a whole pound of boiled shrimp. I do it all the time. I go down to L.A. Bowlers and get me a pound of boiled shrimp, and I eat that whole pound, and I don't have a single reaction. Why? You say, you know, sometimes we think that God is all proper and that he wouldn't really care about a shellfish allergy. Well, he did, and he healed me from it. Okay, you ready for the three confessions? All right, number one, the stripes are greater. The stripes are greater. You know, sometimes we have this thing like, well, you know, if I got a cold, maybe the Lord will heal me. But if I've got cancer, that's too big even for Jesus. No, the stripes of Jesus are greater than every sickness and every disease. I don't care if it's autoimmune disease, I don't care if it's cancer, I don't care if it's lupus, I don't care what it is, the stripes of Jesus are greater. One of my brothers was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and man, it got super bad. In fact, he had to have a major operation where they cut him from here all the way to here and had to undo some things that had happened. He was just battling. He was very, very thin and sickly. And the Lord touched him. And in this case, it was a miracle. He was in the hospital. And as he was over and over in the hospital, over and over, and he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I am calling on you to heal me by your stripes. And instantly he was healed. The next day they did a scan, could not find one trace of Crohn's. And it's been 6 years, and he has not had a trace of Crohn's disease in his body. And now he's 220 pounds and just all back, bowed up guy. God totally healed him of Crohn's disease. And, you know, you have to understand the difference between a miracle and a healing. I'm just giving you some good old-fashioned teaching today on healing. A miracle is when something happens instantly. Now, we all prefer a miracle. I mean, hey, if we're going to do it, let's do the miracle route. But many times it's a healing, and a healing is over time as you stand in faith and rebuke and resist the symptoms of that sickness and disease. God heals your body. And many times it happens that way. Remember the time Jesus laid hands on the man, and he said, can you see? And he said, well, I see like trees, men like trees. And so he laid hands on him again, and then he was completely healed. That's a healing. Yeah. Or when it says, as they went, they were healed, that's a healing. Yeah. Now, many times Jesus would lay his hand, and instantly the woman with the issue of blood had said, and instantly she knew that the fountain of blood inside had dried up. Yeah. That was a miracle. So I want you to just catch something from me today, and that is that we look to the Word of God as the final and only authority when it comes to divine healing. If you can't find it in that Bible, then you don't believe it. And we all pick up things along the way. You know, if you wear a shirt over and over and over again, eventually it's going to pick up some stains and some odors. It might even get ripped. And that's how it is. We, over time, we pick up things that are not in alignment with the Word that the enemy uses to keep us from our inheritance of divine healing. So we start by declaring the stripes are greater. The stripes are greater. I started saying that every day. The stripes are greater than kidney failure. The stripes are greater than any sickness and disease in my body. Those stripes that Jesus took on his back that were for the healing of mankind, just like for the salvation, they're greater. All right, you ready for the second one? The second one is, I will trust the stripes. I trust the stripes. Now, this is where it starts to get very, very difficult for the carnal mind. Because, you know, we can come to the point and say, all right, I trust the stripes. I mean, the stripes are greater. I believe the stripes of Jesus are greater. But when you bring it down to you personally, and it's, I trust the stripes in my situation. You know, it's one thing God healed that person over there, or God did something. But what about you when you're facing those symptoms in your body? Can you say out of your mouth, right now, even though my body is telling me one thing, I declare with my mouth that I trust the stripes. I trust the stripes. It gets a little bit harder there. Because, you know, this is when it gets practical that we walk by faith and not by sight. Or one translation says by senses, what we feel. Man, when you got something going on in your body, I know last month I was facing a situation, one of my blood levels was real low. And because of that, I was feeling very weak, very, very weak. And you know what? Every day I had to get up in the face of that weakness and say, I trust the stripes. I know I'm feeling weakness in my body. I'm not here trying to say I ignored it or I say it's not real. No, it was real. And the blood level was real. But bigger than the blood level or the doctor's report or what I'm feeling in my body, I declare out loud, outside of my mouth, I trust the stripes. I trust the stripes. All right, now, the third one. In Christ, I'm already healed and whole. Now, everybody in here would agree with me that we are the body of Christ. Isn't that right? Now, this morning, we partook of the body and the blood of Christ, right? And that was a sign that we're in the body of Christ. And let me ask you something. Did Jesus ever have sickness in his body? No. So if we're the body of Christ and there's no sickness in his body, then in Christ, I'm already healed and whole. And I'm going to declare out of my mouth that no matter what the symptoms, no matter what the diagnosis, no matter what I might feel or what the past may have been, in Christ, I am healed and whole. In Christ, I'm healed and whole. So first of all, the stripes are greater. That's like saying God is able. You got to start there. If you don't think he's able, well, then you're not even in the game. But then you have to say, I trust the stripes. You make it personal. I believe that those stripes are working on my behalf. But then we finish it with, in Christ, I'm already healed and whole. And I see myself as healed and whole in Christ Jesus. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm the body of Christ. And there is, you know what? In heaven, there is no sickness. There are no nice hospitals in heaven. Did you know that? The nicest hospitals in the universe are right here on planet Earth, because there isn't any hospitals in heaven. Don't need them. Why? Because there's perfect health and healing in heaven. When Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Part of what is in heaven that we're bringing to earth is divine health and life. Now, how many of you finally made it over to Judges chapter 16? Okay. If you hadn't made it there by now, you're probably never going to make it there. I'm going to ask you to put it up on the screen, though, for those of you who may not have a Bible or weren't able to find it. It says, "And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars." This is verse 29. "Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right hand and the other on his left. Then Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life." Now you may say, what in the world is Samson pushing down pillars have anything to do with divine healing? I'm so glad you ask. You know, everything in the Bible points to Christ. And Christ was our heavenly Samson. And he put his hands at Calvary on two pillars that completely held up the whole edifice of Satan's kingdom. One is sin. By sin, sickness entered the world. Death came as a result of sin. He put his hand on sin. But the other pillar he put his hand on was sickness through the stripes of Jesus. And he pushed at Calvary with his blood and his might. And the whole edifice, the whole temple, the whole kingdom of Satan, that temple of Dagon that was there, came crashing down on the devil's head. And all throughout the scriptures, we see these twin pillars being defeated by Christ. Think about Psalm 103. I think that was mentioned this morning, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 3 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities," and, which means it goes with it, what? Anybody got that? Anybody got your eyes on that? "He forgives all my iniquities." Let's see. Is it up there? Do we have? Is there any way to put Psalm 103, verse 3 up there? I want you to see it. "He forgives all my iniquities." That's your sin. That was one pillar. "And he heals all my diseases." So forgiveness of sin and healing from sickness and disease go hand in hand. We don't question if it's God's will to save. It's that it's his will that none would perish, but all would inherit eternal life. Why is it that we question if it's his will to heal? Look at that. Who forgives? How many of your iniquities? So it's like, there's no. Jesus didn't say, "Now my blood is powerful enough for certain things, but if somebody's got an addiction to cocaine, that's too much." Or if they're living a certain lifestyle, that's too much. No. All your iniquities. And it also says, who heals how many? So can you say it a little bit louder? How many? All your disease. That's the twin pillars. Now we see this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Isaiah 53, I want you to see this. And we're wrapping this thing up here because I think y'all are getting it here today. In Isaiah 53, 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him." That's the pillar of sin. And here we go with sickness. "And by his stripes, we are." Now notice that word there. You noticed it right there. We are healed. Not we're going to be healed. Not, "Lord, we need you to heal us." We are healed. That's what I need. Now look where Peter quotes this in the New Covenant in 1 Peter 2:24. who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. Now, what pillar is that? That's the pillar of sin. I'm telling you, it's all through the Bible. I could go 100 places that show the twin pillars that Jesus knocked down. I'm just giving you right here. And then here we move to the other pillar. By whose stripes you, what's that word? We're healed. So in Isaiah, we are healed, present tense. In 1 Peter 2:24, we were healed, past tense. Now, why is that? Because Jesus had taken the stripes at this point, and now we were healed. It's like that preacher said, if you were healed, you are healed, and if you are healed, you is healed. It's not proper English, but it's really easy to understand. But you know what? Your mind, your experience, people in your family, the world around you, they will all try to get you away from this core fundamental belief that the twin pillars of sin and sickness were defeated by Christ on the cross. And we say, Lord, I receive the finished work. Just like when you receive the Lord into your life, you say, Lord, I receive you into my life, and I believe that all my sins are washed away by your blood. In the same way, Lord, I receive your divine healing into my body, and I believe that every sickness and disease is completely taken care of by the stripes you bore on your back. How many of you can see those twin pillars that were defeated at Calvary? And you got to press into this. This is not, you're not going to get this in your head. You got to get it down here in your heart. You got to say, Lord, reveal to me your desire to heal. And read it in the Gospels. Pay close attention every time Jesus heals. Matthew 8 is probably my favorite chapter on divine healing. In the very first story, a leper comes to him and said, Lord, if thy will, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. So if you're ever wondering, is it God's will? You know, it might not be God's will for me to be healed. Read Matthew 8. It is his will for you to be healed. It is his will for you to walk in divine health. It is his will for you to live a long life. It is his will for you to be able to live and move and have your being and not be hindered at all by sickness and disease. That is his will. And by faith, we say, as a child of God in Christ, I receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm encouraged myself after preaching this. I edified myself as the Holy Spirit just spoke through me. All right, I want you to bow your heads with me. You guys have been amazing today. I hope today something was sparked in your heart. I hope that not just head knowledge, but revelation came into your heart concerning the desire of the Lord to heal you and your loved ones and your kids and grandkids and everybody in your family. Thank you, Lord. Now, today I talked about the twin pillars. And sickness is a fruit, a direct result of sin. So to deal with sickness without dealing with sin is a mistake. You know, if you just cut a weed off, it'll grow right back. If you pull out by the roots, it can't come back. And we got to get to the root, and that is that other pillar of sin today. Now, everywhere I go, no matter what I preach on, and I know today I preached on divine healing, so primarily a word to the believers, I don't like to leave without making sure that everyone has had an opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel, that they have received freedom from the power of sin, and they can receive eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're here today, and everyone here may be a believer, I don't know, but I can't run that risk, because if you were to leave out of this place and you never made it back here next week and you did not have an opportunity to receive the Lord in your heart, I would be derelict in my duty as a minister of the gospel. So if you're here and you say, Joel, I heard you talking about healing and deliverance from sickness, but I need that first pillar taken down in my life, the pillar of sin. Now, maybe you've never accepted the Lord in your life, or maybe you did at one point and you've backslidden and you walked away and you need to come back to the Lord today. I don't know. But if that's you and you're here and you say, Joel, I want you to pray with me as Christians or just praying, heads bowed. You say, that's me. I want to give my life to the Lord today. I want you to just lift up your hand and let me see you wherever you are, from the front to the back, side to side. If that's you, you say, I want to give my heart to the Lord today. As I look around, I'll just wait about 20 seconds. The Lord may be dealing with your heart. If that's you, just wave at me and say, I want prayer today. Is there anyone here? Okay. I don't see anybody here today indicating. Now we're going to move on because I want to get to divine healing. Now I'm going to ask if somebody would come and just begin to minister on the keyboard, because in just a minute, I'm going to pray, not just for the sick, because sometimes we get prayer, but we don't really believe anything in our own heart. I'm believing, God, that you would get a revelation of divine healing so that you could lay hold of it for yourself. And I thank God for laying hands on the sick, and I'm all for it. And I've had hands laid on me many times and I've received healing. But at some point, you got to get hold of this thing in your own heart, and you got to believe in your heart. Just like you believe that Jesus is your Savior, you got to believe that Jesus is your healer. I don't, you know, for a long time I trusted him as my Savior, but I didn't trust him as my healer. But now I trust the stripes and I trust him as my healer. Now I'm going to ask you, if everybody here just very reverently would stand to your feet. In just a moment, I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Spencer and we're going to go and get us a good meal and all that stuff. But before we do that, if you're in here and you say, Joel, I need a greater revelation of the stripes of Jesus. I need a greater revelation that Jesus is my healer. I want you to pray for me. I want you right there in your seat just to lift your hands up to the Lord right there. All over, just lift them up. Many people lifting their hands to the Lord. And I want to pray over you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the stripes are greater. I thank you that we can trust in those stripes and that in Christ we are healed and we are whole. And Lord, I pray that today would just be an awakening. It would just be the beginning of their understanding and pursuit of divine healing that is the birthright of every born again believer in Christ. I rebuke today every religious, every high-minded, every pseudoscience spirit that would try to argue against the reality of divine healing in Christ. And today, Lord, I thank you that faith is rising up. Faith is rising up in the hearts of every person here. I thank you for it, Lord. I pray that they would see it in their own life. And they would even see it in the lives of those around them as they began to lay hands on the sick and they began to recover and they began to move. I thank you, Lord, that not only are you using every believer in healing, but I thank you they're going to be people with gifts of healings and workings of miracles that are going to come forth. And we're going to see the Well Fort Payne as a place of divine healing, where healing and miracles is a day-to-day reality in this house. I thank you for it, Lord. Now you may put your hands down. I want everybody to look up here at me. Now I want you to just repeat these three confessions with me out loud. The Bible says, I believe, therefore I spoke. I want you to say out loud, say, the stripes are greater. Come on, say a little bit louder. The stripes are greater. There's nothing in my life that the stripes are not greater. Now, I wanted you to say that second with me. I trust the stripes. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. I trust the stripes. Now, I want you to say that third one. Say, in Christ, I am healed and I am whole. There's no sickness in Christ. Therefore, I receive the divine life of Christ Jesus in Jesus' name. Amen.